We are starting today the fourth Chumash, Chumash Bamidbar. The portion of the week is Bamidbar. This portion is read usually before Shavuot, and it is connected to the essence of Shavuot as well, as we'll see. When we start the Chumash, sometimes I discuss all five Chumashim and the place of this Chumash among those Chumashim, and I want to do it today too. The five Chumashim are five stages in the development of the Jewish people. It starts with Chumash Bereshit that discusses the Avot and the Imaot, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, and the 12 tribes. This is the stage of developing the root. So that's the first Chumash, and it's the development of the root. Chumash Shmot is the birth of the nation. We had the root, and now something is born out of it, something is growing out of it. So Chumash Shmot is considered the birth of the Jewish nation and the growing up, the maturation of the Jewish people. The receiving of the Torah is the point where the Jewish people reach the level of, so to speak, maturity. So that's Chumash Shmot. Chumash Vayikra discusses many of the mitzvot that were given at Sinai. And in the Chumash ends with the covenant between Hashem and the Jewish people, what we call also the blessings and the curses. It's a covenant between Hashem and the Jewish people. This is considered like the marriage. It's like a contract. You do so, I do so. You don't do so, I don't do this. Right? It's like a marriage contract between Hashem and the Jewish people. And it tells us what will maintain the contract in its best. That's Chumash Vayikra. I'm skipping Bamidbar for a moment. I'm moving to Dvarim. You'll see soon why I went in this order. Chumash Dvarim is about preparing the Jewish people for entering the land of Israel. The high point of the development of the Jewish people is living in the land of Israel, because the land of Israel is the appropriate place for keeping Torah and mitzvot. There are mitzvot that cannot be performed but in the land of Israel. So if we speak about the development of the Jewish nation as the nation of Hashem, the last stage is entering the land of Israel. That's coming to the full development. And now they have to accomplish whatever they have to accomplish, right? But they are developed fully and completely. So what is Bamidbar? Bamidbar is the link between Shmot and Vayikra that are about receiving the Torah and becoming one with it, right? The mitzvot, the covenant with Hashem, so to speak, the marriage, and entering the land of Israel. Okay? And it switches the way Hashem deals with the Jewish people. As long as the Jewish people were in the desert, it's not yet the ultimate stage of development. It's like they receive the Torah, they are starting to live according to it. Hashem is giving them open miracles that free them from any worry and any burden. They don't have to do anything in the physical realm of life, so they can study Torah with peace of mind, with Moshe Rabbeinu, who speaks to Hashem and clarifies everything that is not clear. And in this way, they can internalize Torah and make it who they are, part of their essence. That's Bamidbar. When they entered the land of Israel, when they did enter the land of Israel, the way Hashem dealt with the Jewish people differed. They had to live what we call a natural way of life. They had a piece of land, they had to work, they had to do earthly things, right, to take care of making a living, of having a shelter, and so on and so on, and still living according to the Torah, still being connected to Hashem in the same way as they were when they were in the desert. And that's the ultimate goal of the Torah, that whatever we do, in whatever reality we are at that shloshim. Okay, so Chumash Bamidbar, the Chumash that we are starting to read this Shabbat, is the link between the receiving of the Torah and entering the land of Israel. And it's a preparation, right? Via what they go through in the desert, they become ready for the next stage, which is entering the land of Israel. So that's what Chumash Bamidbar is. We know that the names of the Chumashim, like any other name in the Torah, of any object or any being, is a definition of what it is all about. So if we want to understand more what Chumash Bamidbar is all about, we have to go to the first pasuk where the name is taken from, right? See what's written there, and this will help us to define more in detail and understand on a deeper level what the Chumash is all about. Okay, so we are in page 727, which is the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar and Parashat Bamidbar. And I want to read the first pasuk. Okay, 727, the top of the page. So the Torah says, Hashem spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting on the first of the second month, in the second year after the Exodus from the land of Egypt, saying, okay, so let's look at the first sentence. Hashem spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. We know that they are in the wilderness of Sinai from what's written before. The Torah said they arrived at the wilderness of Sinai. That's where they received the Torah. The Torah did not tell us that they moved away from there. So obviously that's where they are. And we don't find in other places in the Torah, when Hashem spoke to Moshe, that the Torah tells us where they were. Usually, what the focal point is what Hashem said, not where they were. If the Torah says that they were at the wilderness of Sinai, it has a special meaning and it has to be here and it reveals something to us. And interestingly enough, this gives the book the name. The wilderness, right? Bamidbar. So obviously there is a lot of depth in the name that is mentioned here. We have to analyze it and see what it is all about. And this will define for us what the book of Bamidbar is all about, what this generation is all about, as well as what the message for us, for all generation in general, of this book is. Okay, so I want to read to you what Chazal say on this pasuk, okay? So Chazal say, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe v'midbar Sinai, זה עקבות הפסוק, Hashem spoke to Moshe at the wilderness of Sinai, and they say something about the place, the location, the wilderness, meaning they are giving us an answer to a question. The Midrash does not ask the question. Like many commentaries, they don't ask the question, they answer it. And from the answer, we realize what question is there in the Pasuk that they are trying to resolve. So the Midrash refers to the question, why are we told where Hashem spoke to them? And the Midrash is as follows. Whoever does not make himself as no man's land like the desert cannot obtain the wisdom and the Torah. And that's why the Torah says, Bemidbar Sinai, in the wilderness of Sinai. We have here the wilderness of Sinai. There are two words, one the wilderness and one Sinai. Sinai automatically, obviously, creates the association with the place where we receive the Torah. So why are we told the wilderness of Sinai here? What we are told is, if we don't make ourselves like no man's land, what we will have to explain, like a desert, it's no man's land. People cannot dwell in the desert. There are no conditions for life in the desert, right? So it's no man's land. So if a person does not make himself like Hefker, what we say in Hebrew, meaning I don't belong to anybody, to anything, I don't have anything, right? Then if he doesn't do it, he cannot get the wisdom of the Torah. Okay, so we have to explain it. What does it mean? And where do we see it in the words? Midbar Sinai, right? The wilderness. What does wilderness mean? So we have to go to the word in the Hebrew. Midbar comes from the root Daled Bet Resh. We are familiar with this root. It means speaking. Many, many, many psukim in the Torah start with Vayadaber Hashem, Hashem spoke, right? And it's from this root, Daled Bet Resh, Hashem spoke. So we know Aseret Adibrot, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Sayings that Hashem told the Jewish people on Sinai. It's also from the same root because Hashem spoke to us, right? So it's the speaking of Hashem to us. Ten things that Hashem told us to do or not to do, right? So Dalet Bet Reish means to speak. But Dalet Bet Reish has another meaning. And this is to lead. A leader is called also Dabar. In the language of our sages, the language of the Torah. Usually in common Hebrew, right? We call a leader manhig, and it's also a Hebrew word because leanhig is to lead. But there is another word, and this is dabar, manhig, a leader. So this root, to speak and to lead, is the same root. If these two meanings come from the same root, it means that there is a connection between them. Otherwise, why do they have the same root? So to speak and to lead are said in Hebrew from the root Dalet Bet Resh, ledaber and leanhig, dabar, a leader. Let's first look at speech. We know that when we describe the human being vis-a-vis animals, other creatures, we say that his specialty is the de'a, the understanding, the intelligence, the hadibur, and speech. And it doesn't mean the physical speech, because animals also have voice and they talk in their language, right? We don't understand what they say, but they are capable of making voices, right? So we don't speak about the physical aspect of it. What we speak about is the combination of intelligence that expresses itself, an idea, right, that expresses itself in speech, in speaking. Now, why is this the definition of a human being? Because if we look at speech, the human speech, we'll see that it's a combination of the physical and the spiritual. First, there is a spiritual part to it, right? There are vocal strings, right? Vocal cords, right? There is a mouth, teeth, different parts also of the physical body that enable us to speak. But even if all of them are at place, we need more in order to speak. A baby doesn't speak. It's only after he grows up, understands, can express ideas, right, that he can speak, right? So it's a combination of the spiritual and the physical. And that's why that's the specialty of the human being, because the specialty of the human being is the fact that he is a godly image in a physical body. And the specialty of men is to create the right combination, the right harmony between these two, between the physical and the spiritual. If you think about it, it's basically being a leader, to create the balance, the right balance between the physical and the spiritual means that a person leads himself according to something, right? According to values, according for a Jew, Torah, right? So speech is physical and spiritual, creating the balance between them is being a leader. So the Sfat Emet explains, when we say Aseret Adibot, the 10 sayings that Hashem told us on Mount Sinai, we don't just speak about the fact that Hashem spoke to us and we heard words. What happened there was, that according to those 10 things that we heard, we have to lead everything according to the will of Hashem. And that's the meaning of the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments give us the guidelines how to lead all of creation based on what Hashem told us. That's the 10 commandments, meaning we are leaders. We have to take the 10 commandments as our guidelines and based on them to conduct ourselves, to refer to other people, to refer to creation, and lead all of us, ourselves, other nations, all of creations, to follow the will of Hashem. That's the 10 commandments. So when we say that the Jewish people heard what Hashem said here in the desert, what we are told is that what happened here is that we make Hashem our leader. That's the book of Bamidbar. The book of Bamidbar is the Jewish people nullifying themselves to the words of Hashem. And this is what it means. I am no man's land, meaning I don't belong to myself. It's not my possession, right? Not myself, not anything that Hashem gave me is just mine. This is things that were given to me. So I should nullify my understanding and my desires and lead myself according to the words of Hashem. That's the meaning of Midbar Sinai. And that's the precondition for the receiving of the Torah. Now, how could I do it? If I understand that I can't understand Hashem, if I, according to my level, understand the awesomeness of Hashem and the fact that we are so limited in understanding Him, obviously I want to follow Him. Let's take a very simple example, right? From a totally different area. Let's say somebody who is extremely successful in business comes to me and tells me, I'll tell you how to invest your money. I have no clue about how one should invest money in a proper way. Most probably I'll trust him because I don't understand and I know that he has an understanding, a skill that I don't. So I'll be very happy that he offers it to me, right? If somebody is an expert in a field, when we go to a doctor, why do we follow his instructions? Because we don't have the knowledge that this person has. And here we speak about human beings. In principle, I can acquire the knowledge, right? But I didn't go this direction in my life, so I rely on others. So the more I appreciate the greatness of Hashem, the fact that we speak about Hashem, who is beyond any human understanding, we should want to follow what he says, right? So when the Jewish people left Egypt, this is exactly what they did. Hashem took them out of Egypt and they had to hurry up, right? They didn't have time even to give the dough to rise enough so they can bake bread. And they, where did they go to? Men, women, children into the desert without any preparation. Logically speaking, it's insane. Who goes like this in the desert, right? There is nothing there to sustain them. They didn't think twice. Hashem told them to go. They put their logic aside, nullified themselves fully, and followed Hashem. And there is a famous verse in Yirmiyahu that says that till today, Hashem remembers this, what Hashem defines as acts of kindness of the Jewish people, that they followed him to a land where there is nothing there, right? So Chumash Bamidbar is after the giving of the Torah. The Jewish people experienced already the 10 plagues in Egypt, the splitting of the Red Sea. miracles on the way in the war of Amalek, in Mara. They experience, and that's the main thing, the giving of the Torah. And felt to the extent of human capacity, the greatness of Hashem. So now they are ready to walk wherever he leads them. And Sefer Bamidbar describes it to us, describes to us the time that the Jewish people followed Hashem fully and completely, and they didn't worry about what will be with them. As a result of this loyalty, the sages tell us that the Jewish people, that Moshe Rabbeinu went with the sheep, with the flock of Yitro, after the desert, Achar HaMidbar. He took the sheep after the desert. Why do we need to know where exactly he was? So, on the simple level, he reached Sinai, and that's where he had a revelation of the burning bush. That's when Hashem appointed him to be the leader to redeem the Jewish people from Egypt. The Midrash explains it further, and the Midrash says, what is Achar HaMidbar? The Midrash asks, why did he run to the desert? So they say, because he saw, obviously Moshe Rabbeinu was on a very high level and he could foresee the future. And what he saw is that the Jewish people came out of the desert much higher than they came in, that they had an elevation in the desert. As it's written in Shir HaShirim, Mi zot olam min ha-midbar. Who is this that is coming out of the desert? But the word coming out in this verse is ola, la'alot, coming up from the desert, because they were elevated in the desert. It's in Songs of Songs. And the Midrash says, what does it mean they came out of the desert elevated? See what they gained in the desert. Man was in the desert. The slav, the animals, birds that Hashem sent them, that they ate in the desert. The well, the mishkan, the presence of Hashem, priesthood, Aaron and the Kohanim were appointed there. Malchut, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, that was a king. And Ananei Kavod, the clouds that surrounded them. So obviously, Hashem treated them in an unbelievable way in the desert. They were elevated to a level of angels, basically. Our sages say that the manna was food of angels, right? And all of it, because they were ready to nullify themselves fully and completely and follow Hashem, even when logic didn't tell them to follow. Logic told them don't, right? They didn't listen, they didn't hear. They trusted Hashem fully and completely and ran after him to the desert. And in the merit of it, they got all of it. And this was the preparation for the receiving of the Torah. Okay, so what we can say about Sefer Bamidbar is that the Jewish people went after Hashem without any resistance. They totally nullified themselves and followed him. I'm sure you will ask, so what about all the sins that are described in the book? Obviously, they were very, very, very fine points. If it would have been us, it would have not been considered a sin altogether. Maybe it would have been considered a mitzvah. On their high, high level, there were times that they made mistakes, but this by itself is the process of getting close to Hashem. We are human beings. We are capable of making mistakes, but they always did tshuva. Hashem revealed to them right away, this is a mistake. There was right away a consequence because they were ready for tshuva right away. The moment they realized something was wrong, they did tshuva on the highest level. And this is another difference between this generation and our generation. When we make mistakes, we don't have always consequences right away. Every deed will have consequences, some in this world, some in the world to come, but they are not immediate. And when things come upon us, we don't know even what exactly do they come for. right? When we had prophecy, the prophets told us, you go through this and this because of this and this, correct, and then you won't suffer. Today, we don't know it, right? We correct whatever we feel we need to correct. But in this generation, as soon as they went off, even a little, Hashem right away brought consequences that indicated to them what was wrong, and they corrected it right away. It's like the difference between a very, very close relationship and there is total trust between two people, and a regular relationship or even not so good relationship. In a not so good relationship, if somebody will speak in a little bit disrespectful language, won't be even noticed. It's the nature of the relationship. But if the relationship is ideal and somebody will say something that is even slightly seems to be disrespectful or not close enough, right away there will be a reaction. How come? Right? And it will give the other person the opportunity to explain and hopefully to bring it back to where it was before. So this was the kind of relationships that the Jewish people had in the desert. And if we look at the first chapters in the book of Bamidbar, chapter 1, chapter 2, and further through part of the next week's portion, all of the Parashah of Bereshit, and part of Parashat Naso, and even a little further, we'll have a description of this unbelievable closeness to Hashem, of this nature of this of the nature of this generation. So there are two main topics in the beginning of Bamidbar. A, if you are on the same page, verse number 2, take a census, page 727, verse number 2, Hashem tells Moshe, take a census of the entire assembly of the children of Israel, according to their families, according to their fathers, household, by number of the names, every male according to their head count. Meaning, a census is taken. And the census itself, that was done by names, meaning it's just that numbers, it's giving importance to every Jew. It was done by name. And the many repetitions that will be found in this chapter, that we won't go into it today because we did it in the past, indicate a special relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem. Especially if you remember that just a few months before the Jewish people were counted and the numbers were equal. So what's the point of the counting? The point of the counting is showing the love to the Jewish people. So the Jewish people are counted. Every one of them counts very, very much. And then in chapter number 2, we are told how they should camp in the desert, while being in the desert. What should be the order of their camping while they are camping in the desert? Also, what should be the order of the Jewish camp while they're traveling from one place to the other? But that's an in-between situation, right? We are speaking about the camping. There was a special order then, and the Torah speaks about it. Now, this chapter, chapter 2, which is in page 733, the Torah starts, I'm sorry, going back to chapter 1, right? We are still in chapter 1, verse 2, 727, verse 2. In English, Arzrol translated, take a census. And that's really the meaning of the Hebrew words. But in Hebrew, we are not told take a census. In Hebrew, if you look, it's Se'u et Rosh. Se'u et Rosh means elevate the head, lift up the head of the Jewish people. What it means from what's written after, we understand is count them. Counting lifts up the head of a person because it gives him importance. It tells him you count. That's the simple understanding. But the Sforno says here something very, very beautiful. The Sforno, I'll read it to you and translate, it's very short. Says as follows, Se'u et Rosh, what means count them, but it's written as lift up their head. What is the lifting up of the head here? Says the Sforno, organize them so they will enter the land of Israel in this way that they are organized, without any war. When they will enter the land, the nations will leave the land. They will make room for them. They will give it over to them. That's what his former says. And this was the original intention. When we see the greatness of the Jewish people, the counting, and later on the way they camped, we understand that a nation like this is totally taken care of by Hashem. And if Hashem wants them to come into the land of Israel, he will make it happen. How? The nations will go away. And there was really one nation of the seven that were in the land of Israel, the Girgashi, one of the seven nations, that really left and went to Africa, we are told. When they heard the Jewish people are coming, they left and they went to Africa. So only six nations remained in the land of Israel, and when the Jewish people entered, these were the nations they had to fight, but not the Girgashi. Originally, it was supposed to be that all seven will leave the land and hand it over to the Jewish people. But what happened? Bekilkul ha-meraglim, when they sinned in the sin of the spies, what happened is that the seven nations in the land of Israel had 40 more years to perform, to do all the bad things that they were doing. So their cup became full and they had to be destroyed. So it turned from coming into the land of Israel without any war to coming and having to fight. But even though they had to fight, it was in a miraculous way, like the walls of Jericho sunk in the ground when the Jewish people surrounded it for 7 days and blew shofarot and other miracles that happened that enabled them to conquer the land of Israel. So what do we see? There was a very beautiful beginning, right? The beautiful beginning is described in the beginning of the book of Bamidbar. Later on, we have mistakes that they made, sins that the Torah describes. Sins on their level, but they are judged according to their level, right? And they were given 40 years to correct it. The 40 years in the desert, they're not just a punishment because you didn't want to go into the land of Israel as you indicated in the story of the spies. That's why you won't enter. No, obviously you are not ready spiritually. So Hashem gave them 40 years to prepare themselves. So two things happened. On one hand, the nations became weaker and deserved to be destroyed, right? And the Jewish people grew in those 40 years of miracles, of having Moshe with them, Aaron and Miriam, right? The best leadership. Hashem spoke to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam and gave them instructions whenever it was necessary. They learned Torah day and night, right? And eventually, how does the book end? I want you to go to page 923, the end of the book of Bamidbar. Chapter 34. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, 923, chapter 34. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, since you come to the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan according to its borders. And then the Torah tells us the borders. And when you go to the next page, to verse number 13, Moses commanded the children of Israel saying, this is the land that you shall divide as an inheritance by lot, which Hashem has commanded to give to the 9.5 tribes. Meaning, in other words, they come back to where they were supposed to be before the sin of the spies. They corrected everything. And now they are ready to enter the land of Israel. And the book ends with a nation that corrected everything that went wrong and is now ready to enter and start to fulfill their purpose at the best place that is their inheritance, that is supposed to help them in reaching the peak of their development. Now, the Book of Bamidbar is obviously not just a book of history. It doesn't tell us just about them, but it tells us a message for us for all generations. So what it tells us is, who are we? We are a nation that has to be able to put the ego aside, the arguments of the intellect and the bad inclination aside, and follow Hashem with full trust and do whatever He told us in the Torah to do. That's basically our life mission. And we start with a clean slate. We are born innocent, pure. The soul Hashem gave us is pure. And we are starting the journey. Hopefully, in any journey, before the hopefully, in any journey, there are ups and downs, easier moments, more difficult moments. Our goal, all through it, no matter what Hashem puts on our plate, is to try to take the situations that we are at and the tools that He gives us in order to follow Him according to the laws of the Torah. And eventually, we will get to where we are supposed to be, either in this world, some people, after 120, or when Mashiach comes. So this is true for the individual, and this is also true for the whole Jewish nation. If we will look, we'll see that in our history, we had a beginning that was amazing. We entered the land of Israel. We had the Beit HaMikdash. We had kings. We had autonomy in the land of Israel. We were the rulers of the land of Israel. We conquered the nations that were there. And we served Hashem fully and completely. But as time passed, as we know, we committed sins. And we were sent out to a journey, long journey, that was the consequence of the sins that we committed, what we call exile. And we started a journey that parallels the journey of the Jewish people in the desert. What does it mean, it parallels? A few things. A, in the book of Bamidbar, all categories of failures are handled by the Jewish people. We can make many mistakes, but we can categorize them. And there are 10 major categories of failures that a Jew can make. And from time to time, we did fail, right? What did Hashem do when the Jewish people failed? He gave them time in exile, time of journeying through the desert with opportunities to correct. And eventually they got there. Now, we did it once after the destruction of the first temple, right? We went to exile, but only for 70 years. We corrected what went wrong, and we came back to the land of Israel and built the second temple. We are now at a much, much more complicated, difficult, and long exile, but we have to look at it via the lenses of the Book of Bamidbar, meaning we have to look at it as the journey that will enable us to correct what went wrong. And each generation adds layers in the correction. We can say it builds layers in the future Beit HaMikdash. And eventually, we will have, again, the land of Israel inherited to us by Hashem without any resistance of any nation. And we'll be there forever following the will of Hashem and clinging to Him. So Bamidbar is basically a book that reflects to us our history as a nation, our history as individuals, and teaches us what do we have to do in order to be able to get there. So one thing we said, we have to be thinking and internalizing to the best of our ability, the greatness of Hashem, and develop a desire, a trust, and a desire to follow Him. The more we understand His greatness, the more we'll be afraid to do something against His will, because He's the right guide. He's the one who is our father and our king. He wants us to be, to come to the best, right? To the happy end. And he leads us. We should follow him without hesitation, without needing to understand everything he asks us to do. The Torah says that's what we do. Now, we have more that I want to address based on this parsha of how do we do it and what does it mean for us. We will read this Shabbat, the sixth chapter of Ethics of Our Fathers, of Pirkei Avot. Pirkei Avot is said from the first Shabbat after Pesach till Shavuot. So this is the last week before Shavuot, and we read the last chapter of Pirkei Avot. And obviously, it's not by an accident that we say this chapter at this time. As you see, the parsha is connected to following the Torah, and so is the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avot. It's all speaking about the greatness of Torah, what Torah does to us, the need to follow Torah. And among other things, what's written there is as follows. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, Kol ha'osek v'Torah lishma, whoever makes Torah his business, lishma, for the right reasons, zoche ledvarim arbe, will have major, wonderful consequences. And we are told what they will be, right? But I want to concentrate on this part. Kol ha'osek v'Torah lishma, whoever makes Torah his business, meaning his main occupation, and he does it lishma, for the right reason, right? We'll have many, many things. What does it mean to do Torah lishma? We'll study for what Torah wants us to achieve. What it means is the following, that everything that we do, it's not written, whoever learns Torah for the right reason gets so and so and so. What's written is whoever makes Torah his business for the right reasons will gain this and this and this. What does it mean, making Torah our business? It means it's our main occupation. Does this mean that we have to study Torah day and night? If somebody has the ability to do it and is built for it, of course, that's great. But this is told to every Jew. And not every Jew sits and learns all day long. And that's why the language is, and even from the one who sits and learns every day, all day, there is something else that is demanded. And this is that he has to study Torah to make Torah his business, lishma, for the sake of Torah. What is the sake of Torah? Let's look at the name again. He said names are definitions in Lashon HaKodesh, in the holy language. Torah means giving instructions, directions. Lehorot, mora, a teacher, is from the same root. Lehorot, to teach, is from the same root. Meaning when a person studies Torah, in order to get the information necessary to make it his main business, he will gain all those things. So what does it mean to make it his main business? It means that whatever he does, everything he does, is based on the instructions of the Torah, not just learning. That every step he takes is following what Hashem wants, asking what would Hashem want me to do? How would Hashem want me to do this? And it includes every aspect of life. How does Hashem want me to get up in the morning? What should I do when I get up in the morning? How should I speak to people? How should I do my business? In any decision that comes in front of me, and that's what life is all about, decisions, 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 right? Every day, all day, right? I should ask, What is it that Hashem, the Torah, tells me to do? Not what I want, not what I think, but what would Hashem, what that speaks to me via Torah, right, want me to do? Meaning, I make myself like nothing. I'm going to a desert, meaning it's empty. I don't have anything besides Hashem, because let's see, what is a desert? It's a place that a human being cannot exist. There's nothing there. So this is a place where we understand and feel and know, not only intellectually, but we can relate to the fact that we totally depend on Hashem for everything, for life itself, right? To learn Torah Lishma is to know it and to know that Hashem created this world via Torah. This was the blueprint. And the life force, the real life force, not just the biological, but the real life force is Torah. And everything that exists and everything that happens is an opportunity to connect to Hashem, to follow Torah. And by following Torah, to connect to Hashem. So anything that I do, if I eat, if I drink, if I get dressed, if I buy clothes, if I build a house, there is nothing without a mitzvah connected to it that indicates to me that this is something that was created for me so I can follow Hashem and not my ego or my desires. And by doing it, connect to him. So I am basically asked to be a leader of myself, where I make the ideal balance between the physical and the spiritual. And by this, I lead the whole world. Because our decisions affect all of the nations, our decisions affect creation. Even inanimate things, they get an elevation if we choose the right thing, and they become more physical, more removed from Hashem if we don't. So this generation that we are speaking about, that went into the desert, is the first generation of the Jewish people. It's like the foundation of a house. It's the first floor, right? It's the beginning. As strong as this is, that's how strong the building is. We are all leaning on this generation. It was the greatest generation of the Jewish nation. And that's why it's called Dor De'ah. What is De'ah? A generation of De'ah. There are three levels of wisdom. We ask for them from Hashem. In the first request that we say in Shmona Esrei, we ask Hashem for wisdom. Ata chonen le'adam da'at. You grant men da'at. There are three levels of wisdom. There is chokhmah, wisdom. Bina, we'll soon explain what it is, inner understanding, just to translate, but we'll soon explain. And there is da'at. What's the difference between them? When we speak about chokhmah here, wisdom, we do not speak about intelligence. We speak about true wisdom, the wisdom of Torah. Meaning, we have to know who we are, why we are here, and what we have to do. That's wisdom. This sets up a goal for us. If I understand who I am, if I understand what is required of me, right, I have the roadmap in front of me. That's wisdom. It's a general understanding of matters. Then I have to take this wisdom and internalize it. That's Bina. From what I am told, right, about who I am, why I am here, what's the purpose of life, what's the relationship that I can achieve between me and Hashem. I have the knowledge and the motivation to explore more. And to understand one thing from the other. like I'm standing in front of a situation, and if I recall and remember that I am here in order to follow Hashem, I'll be able to do it when I come to a situation where I'm challenged by my bad inclination or by my surrounding or by my intellect that tell me don't, right? Or the opposite, when I am challenged by my intellect or by my bad inclination or by my surrounding to relax and not put so much effort into what the Torah requires of me, right? If I understand, if I have wisdom, and I know who I am, why I'm here, and so on, I can internalize it and do whatever I need to do. When I do it, when I put myself aside, when I say myself, I mean the ego and the intelligence, the understanding of my brain aside, and I'm there ready to follow what the Torah tells me to do, then I become one with the wisdom. If I perform the things based on the wisdom that I have, if I don't follow those who entice me not to, the more I do it, the more I become one with Torah and one with Hashem. And that's that. That means closeness, to become one. Marriage is discussed as that in the Torah because it's a unity, right, between two beings. So when I unite with Torah, I become one with Torah, I become one with Hashem, then I reach the level of that. What does it mean I become one with Torah? That I come to a point where my intellect tells me what the Torah would tell me. That I worked myself up to such an extent that my intellect, that usually likes to be independent, right, will tell me what the Torah would tell me. And my heart, that might be independent and follow desires that are not appropriate, becomes one with Torah and Hashem and urges me to do the right thing. This is the level of that, right? So this generation got to this level of closeness to Hashem. And that's why they are called Dor Deah. We said that they encamped around, Hashem gave them a special way to encamp, to camp in the desert, right? They encamped in a specific way. How was it? The Mishkan was in the middle. The Jewish people were around it in a circle. The people who are in the category of Israel, regular Jews, were 2,000 amot, about 1,000 yards, far from the Mishkan. There was a certain distance from the Mishkan that they had to be, 2,000 amot. And they encamped on all four directions, and Hashem said exactly which tribe should be there. Closer to, or between them and the Mishkan, was the camp of the Levites. The Jewish people did not enter the camp of the Levites. This was the place for the Levites. And they were considered the guards of the Mishkan. They had to ensure that people don't come in when they shouldn't, right? Now, the Mishkan had a fence around it. There was a courtyard and a fence that separated between the Levites and the Mishkan. Then there was the Masach, there was a curtain at the entrance to the Mishkan that separated between the Levites and the Kohanim and the Mishkan. They couldn't come freely only when they needed to do a service. And then there was the Parochet that separated between the Holy and the Holy and Holiest. And after all these boundaries, in the Holy of Holiest was the Torah in the Arun HaKodesh, in the Ark. And all Jewish people faced the Beit HaMikdash and understood its awesomeness and holiness. And this was the reason why they cannot enter whenever they wanted. You had to be prepared and on a certain level in order to be able to enter. But they all focused on the Mishkan. What means, in other words, Their life was focused on the Torah, what's written there, and how to follow it. This is what the camp in the desert was all about. Everybody looking to the Torah, and as we know, in a circle, all points are equally distant from the center. Every Jew was equally distant from the center, right? And focused on the center, facing the center. And the Mishkan was in front of them, in front of their eyes, right? And they know they cannot enter in such a holy place, and understood that they can connect to the Torah and become one with it by facing it all the time. Now, when the Torah discusses the camping in the desert, if you look at the beginning of chapter 2, which is on page 733, the Torah says the following. Verse number 1, Hashem spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, the children of Israel shall encamp, each man by his banner, according to the insignias, their father's households, a distance surrounding the tent of meeting shall they encamp. There is a word by his banner, each tribe by his banner. So on the simple level, what we say is, every tribe had really a flag. And the flag was a specific color that matched the color of the stone that was on the Choshen, that was their stone, right? It was the same color. And it had a symbol that expresses the essence of the tribe. Like Yehuda was a lion because they are strong and so on. Each tribe has its own symbol. And this indicated to them where is their space of camping. That's on the simple level. But a banner is also a declaration of who I am. It tells what I'm standing for. And each tribe had a special thing that they stood for, a special way they had to serve Hashem that was unique to this tribe. But the banner also, the otot, is called in the Torah degel and otot, ot. Ot is a sign, right? And the sign was, what they stood for, what they held onto, was the Mishkan that was in the middle. Okay? When in chapter 20 in Tehillim, chapter that we say at times of difficulty many, many times, right? So we say, Ele barechev ve'ele basusim, speaking about the nations. They come with horses, they come with chariots to fight. Va'anachnu, but we, b'shem Hashem nidgol, the same root like degel. B'shem Hashem nidgol, we come with the name of Hashem. What is nidgol? This is our banner. This is what we stand for. This is what we believe in, right? So, all those tribes indicated one thing. We are around the Mishkan. The Torah is the center, and we are here to follow. We won't have a class next week because of Shavuot, but next week, when the Torah discusses the traveling in the desert, we'll see there no personal opinion. Hashem said when to travel, Hashem said when to camp. They might have come to a good place that they wanted to stay there. Hashem would say, after they, you know, unpacked and settled and so on, get up, go. They might come to a difficult place and Hashem would say, stay and stay for long. And they had to stay. And they never knew for how long they are going to stay. So when they came to a place that Hashem wanted them to be for one day, they thought maybe they'll be there for years. They settled. And as soon as they finished settling, Hashem told them to go. How much nullification of ego and following of Hashem is in such a way of traveling. And this also is what we are told in our life, and we are told as a nation and as individuals. It seems that it's very, very difficult. And yes, we have to overcome our bad inclination, environmental influences, what our intellect tells us, but eventually it's a much happier life. It's like a baby held by the mother and carried by her. This was life in the desert, and this is even the life in the desert after the sins. Hashem still doesn't give up on us. He still directs us towards rectification of what went wrong and leads us to the ultimate good. So it tells us one thing. No matter what happens, no matter what we have, no matter what doesn't happen, what matter what it doesn't matter what we don't have. Wherever we are, our focal point has to be, what would Hashem want us to do under these circumstances? Let's assume we are around the Mishkan and the Torah is there and the Torah speaks to us. What will the Torah tell us to do? And the more we do it, the closer we'll come to the ultimate destination. Okay, we'll finish here and open to questions and answers.
Before we open for questions, this class is Le'ilu Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha, Bas David Mordechai. You should be able to unmute yourselves.
Anybody? Okay, I hope it's because it was clear. I hope so.
Very clear. Very, okay. Very clear. Thank you.
Very welcome.
Thank you.
Tomorrow in Yad Hashem, we have a class about Shavuot.
Correct.
Right.
9:30.
Okay. The same time.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
A pleasure. All the best.
Thank you.